This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share. You
alone, my do that, we must sell the previous one. And it's a townhouse, and townhouses are moving like traffic in the morning. They are not moving. Nobody wants it. And it led to quite a bit of frustration, and we found lots of reasons to be unhappy with the place. And we prayed and were asking and trusting God, and I felt God clearly respond and say to me, "Did you not ask me for this place?" Sure, and I had to think back, and I remember just how happy I was when we found that place. That place was an answer to prayers, that we had looked the whole Windhoek. We were in a Liesenheim. We couldn't find value for money. And by some miracle, we found that place. And we bought it, and we were so stoked. We bought it. We moved in December. I think we had like 4 housewarmings in that December, just celebrating this place. And 3 years later, this place is a disdain. It's not good enough. And God was just saying, "Hang on. I'm Israel." Yeah, there goes my Doris. So God hears us and he answers to correct us, but often we don't hear and understand. In that case, I heard him, I understood, and I could receive the correction. But very often, and we find this a lot in the world, especially in unbelievers or believers that are still growing in maturity, is that they do not hear God's correction or understand it. And why do I say immaturity? I say that because of the response. Most times, even when we're kids, especially, sometimes we pray to God for, say, the bicycle for Christmas. And it doesn't come. Then we make assumptions about God based on the results of what we've done. So we asked him, it didn't come, so God doesn't answer prayers. And I'm trivializing it now, but in the world what happens is people say, "God doesn't exist. I prayed, he didn't answer, so he didn't exist." Or people go further as to say, "How can God exist if?" And we find evidence in the real world to justify that argument. Now, I must categorically say that that is both idolatry and immature. Why do I say idolatry? Why is it that when we pray and God does not respond, the problem is with God? Because if we prayed by faith and God didn't respond, is it still faith if we blame God? Did God somehow stop being God? Or is he still God? Do we still believe that he is the Lord Almighty, or do we not? So was it faith, or were we praying to fulfill our own desire? That is a widespread challenge faced by all of us, believers and unbelievers alike. That those who seek to come to God sometimes do not understand what he expects from us. And not getting results really poses us with the opportunity to respond. What do we do then when God does not answer in the way we expect? And oftentimes what also happens is we pray and our prayers just go unanswered. Not just that God answers in a way we do not expect or do not understand, but that he doesn't answer at all. This I also found in Scripture, and this is the second main reason why we miss connecting with God. But Psalm 66:18 says, "If I regard my wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear." What does that mean? That means if I hold on to sin in my heart, the Lord will not hear. Now, this is complicated Because in our minds we think, I mean, duh, let go of the sin, you know. But it's not that simple. Isaiah 59:2 says, but your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. Why does it differentiate between sin and iniquity? The writer here is speaking about a bent, a tendency in us that is contrary to the will of God, contrary to his desire for us, but that we hold. And scripture says that this nature is causing a separation between us and God. Now, again, I want us to appreciate just how challenging it is to be free of sin and be free of these iniquities, have God come and take those things out of our lives. In this modern time, we are bombarded with the trivialization and the acceptance, really, of sin. That there are things that if I were to speak about now that Scripture says is sin, would cause offense. Because in the world, we've been taught that those things are right and those things are normal. I can make a small example, but if we say for instance, same-sex marriage or attraction or same-sex sexual relations. I'm not going to pull up the scriptures, but we know what they say. But if I say that is sin now, I offend so many people in the world. And it's always been the devil's chief mission to bring us to a place that we are misaligned with God. That the things of God become offensive to us. In the same way that when Christ went and cast out a demon of someone who was tormenting the people, they were offended by what he did. It's so important for us as Christians to turn back to the Word for the basis of our truth. Because I don't want to speak too much about sin here. We are all sinners. But what this does is, this separation, not just between us and God, but between followers of Christ and unbelievers, is that people close the door to receive the love of Christ. And when we focus too much on sin, we make ourselves unable to minister the love of Christ effectively. We aren't able to communicate the love of Christ that caused prostitutes and then the tax collectors to follow Jesus Christ around because they love to be around him. But when we miss it, us so-called followers of Christ aren't fun to be around for people who are looking for the love of Christ. We can't afford to miss God here. We have to reestablish this connection with the Father heart of God, that desire to make known to each and every single man, woman, and child the love of Christ. So how do we connect with God? Now at Men's Camp, we had the privilege of listening to a message by Pastor Yaku. He's our shofar pastor in Swakopmund. And he shared on something that really, really compelled me in a sense. And I'm just going to draw on some of those scriptures as we try to answer this question is, what is scripture's idea of us connecting with God? And there's a certain characteristic of connecting with God in the spirit that scripture talks about very clearly and quite abundantly. It's a lot of scriptures. But it's a characteristic of coming in and going out. both in the presence of God and with the presence of God. Let's look at some scripture there. 1 Samuel 18:13. Therefore Saul removed him from his presence and appointed him, this is David now, as his commander of 1,000. And he went out and came in before the people. Now what happened was Saul had a spirit that was tormenting him, and David would come and play the harp, and every time he played, it would leave. But David was also a very successful man of war, and so the people began to praise David for his successes, and Saul began to envy David for not just his success, but the response from the people. So much so that Saul once threw a spear, or twice threw a spear at David while he was just beginning to play the harp, and David somehow managed to flee. But Saul recognized something in David. Saul recognized that David had this ability. David had this understanding of going in and coming out with the Lord's presence. And Scripture is very clear and says that the Spirit of the Lord left Saul. So Saul knew, he could feel that God was no longer with him, but God was with this guy. And what does Saul do? Make him the commander of my armies, which is extremely intelligent. It's like if you appoint somebody who's doing an amazing job at managing, but you appointed them as a cleaner, you make them a manager. Let them manage if that's what they're good at. And that obviously benefits you. It benefited Saul. If David succeeds, so does he. The next piece of scripture also in Samuel, 2 Samuel 5:2, it says, speaking of David, you were the one who led Israel out and in, and the Lord said to you, you will shepherd my people Israel, and you will be a ruler over Israel. So what happens is, the people recognize that the presence of God is with David. And we also know that the Israelites chose to have a priest, chose to have a king who would represent them before God and not them directly. We also know that that was not God's desire. God wanted each and every one individual to connect with him directly. And the Israelites then in the desert with Moses said, no, we're too scared. Send Moses to go and speak to God on our behalf. And here they recognize David as the one who would go out and come in on their behalf. In 1 Kings 3:7 it says, now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. This is Solomon. Yet I am but a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. And Pastor Yaku shared this, but this is what Solomon asked for. He didn't even ask for wisdom. This is not when he asked for wisdom. When he was made king, the first thing he asked for was, God, teach me how to come in and go out. Teach me how to move with and into your presence. Now these are kings, and they recognized the need for them to establish this connection with God. This connection with God for them was directly tied to the success of their position. And for me, this going out and coming in, it speaks of a procedure, that there was a way for us to do it, that some knew at that time and some didn't. But for us now, after Christ, with him having reestablished the connection between man and God, this coming in and going out, it refers to us, or it applies to us just as it did then to the priests and kings. And it speaks of us knowing that we are in right standing with God. It speaks of us, it speaks of righteousness, if I can put it like that. And just like we read that it's sin, that it's iniquity that formed this wedge between us and God, Scripture tells us that Jesus Christ came to bridge this gap. That it is our sin and iniquity that made us unable to enter God's presence, but Jesus comes and takes that away by the shedding of his blood to make it possible for us to reestablish this connection. It talks about acknowledging God as God. And that he is the Almighty God. Just hold on. I'm just losing power there, but we will continue. This connection, or this connecting with God, also speaks about intimacy with God. Knowing God. Knowing, just like a husband knows his wife's tics. He knows when she's had a good day or a bad day. That intimacy is actually talking about us knowing the heart of God. That just like a wife knows, you know, her husband's favorite meal or the team in which he supports. My wife, I'm a Chelsea supporter. She was an Arsenal supporter, but she's okay now. And she's learned all the players' names and she's really made an effort. But this is, it's a type of intimacy that Scripture is talking about that is way more than that. That we enter a place where we are naked before God. We can't dress nicely. We can't hide our past. We can't smile to cover up what's going on the inside. But that he knows what's going on in our lives. And it speaks about us knowing what God expects from us. That we're busy doing in our small groups a series called Not a Fan. But as Christians these days, you can either be a fan on the sidelines cheering on, or you can be in the game. And for so many of us, we stand on the sidelines, feeling like we're not good enough to be in the game. Like we're not good enough. We're not the ones. When Scripture talks about go out into the nations, we think of other people. But that's not the case. When Scripture talks about you are a royal priesthood, it's not speaking about other people. It's talking about you and me. When Jesus says that greater things than these you will do, he's talking about you and me. And there's no way that we can do that without him. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it's impossible to please God. John 10:9, our last scripture, as we all stand. You can stand with us. Now Jesus Christ put it about as plain as and as clear as day. And he says there, I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved. And he will go in and out and find pasture. And it says, if anyone, that there's no distinction made, that we all are called, because that's, we are all made by God. And God is calling us to connect with him in spirit. It's his desire for us to know him. It's his desire for his love, his power to manifest in our lives and in the lives of other people through us. And unlike our bodies and unlike our intellect or our imagination, there's no limitation to what God can do in us and through us. That when we connect with him in spirit, our innermost part, the other two parts of our beings become healed from the inside out. The only thing holding us back is us. There is no sin that can condemn any of you or me. There is no past, no mistake that Jesus can't bridge that gap. He paid the ultimate price to be the eternal sacrifice for every sin that we have committed and will commit. We are compelled by his love for us to allow him to come and be God in our lives. And in this day and age, it'll take strength and it'll take courage just to survive and to follow Christ. It'll take even more strength and even more courage. But we can choose to go it alone, or we can choose to allow him in. And as we all close our eyes this morning, I can feel that we have entered into the presence of God. Can't explain it, but I can't deny it. Now, if you're standing here this morning and you cannot deny that God is compelling you then I'd like to invite you to the front. If you are ready to give your life to Christ, as the saints pray, we just want to encourage you and pray with you. I know you might want to go do it at home, or elsewhere, but the presence of God is here. And he wouldn't compel you here if he didn't want you to respond here. So while the eyes are closed, if you're standing here this morning and you've never made the commitment to make God or Jesus Christ Lord and Savior of your life, and we welcome you to the front this morning. It's the best decision you can make. It's the best decision I made. But let us not allow what is good and what Christ has decreed to cause offense this morning. No. Let us open our hearts and allow the King of Glory to come in. Let us allow his spirit to fill us, change us. We'll remain in the front if anyone needs prayer. But let us pray together now. Father God, I I'm amazed, Father, when I think of just how much you love us. That there are so many reasons why we are not worthy. So many reasons why we don't make the cut. That we didn't deserve for you to come down, Lord Jesus, to come and die for us. Before we even knew you, and yet you did. And Lord, I just thank you that we can know this love, Father. That we can know this love that changes men and women from the inside out like nothing else can. And thank you, Father God, that you would find us worthy, that you would come and dwell in us, Lord, that you'd come and live in us. That you choose to express yourself through us, Father God. We pray, Father, that you would teach us to reconnect with you. That we would teach us, Father God, to seek your face, Lord. And Scripture says that anyone who comes and seeks you will find you. I pray, Father God, that you would establish, Lord, this connection with us, or that we would establish this connection again with you through your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord. That we would hear your voice, Father God. That we would know what and how to pray, Lord, and that we would know how to hear or understand, Lord, your response. I pray, Father, that you'd come and overwhelm us, Father God. That each one would know that a life with you, Father, hearing your voice day by day, just one day like that is better than 100 without you, Lord. Allow us to dwell in your courts, Father, as we go through this life, Lord. And yeah, may we live, Father God, like we know we're going to spend eternity with you, Lord. And compel us, Father God, to share the love that we have received with the world, Lord. That we can forgive just as we have been forgiven, Lord, and that we can give just as we have received. That we would live a life that clearly shows that Christ is within us. That we'll no longer try to live like this world, Father. Be like it. But that will be so different from it that people will be drawn to you through us. I pray for this week, Lord, as we go out, that you'd give us a renewed and increased capacity, Father, to show your love to the world, Lord. That as we hand out blankets and socks, and that you would give us the love to share, Father God. More than the materials. Lord. That people will be drawn to you, Lord God. I pray, Father, that you bless each one, Lord, as we move from here, Lord, and that you cover each one. And that your presence will go out with us as we leave, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.